Dateline Washington, Thursday, January 8th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, are we going to see a second front in the Middle Eastern war? Rockets from Lebanon fall into northern Israel. Israel responds briefly. Was this an isolated incident or much more? We'll talk about it with retired Navy Captain Chuck Nash, and we'll also get his analysis of what we've seen so far in Gaza and the U.S. posture to this entire crisis. Also in this edition, is Barack Obama getting a free ride from the media when it comes to his proposed economic stimulus plan? Dan Gaynor of the Business and Media Institute is with us to explain why Barack Obama is getting very few tough questions about the amount of money he wants to spend and exactly what his tax credits would look like. Plus, how do conservatives see the Bush legacy? We'll talk with John Gizzi of Human Events, who had a 40-minute one-on-one interview with President Bush this week as the president defended his record on national security, domestic spending, and more. But will conservatives be satisfied with his explanation? And the Electoral College. Barack Obama officially declared the next president of the United States today as Congress counted the electoral votes. Should the system change, be abolished, or left the way it is? We'll talk about that with University of Virginia professor Larry Sabato. All that plus Thursday's headlines. Follow our discussion with Captain Chuck Nash, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is retired Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He's also a Fox News military analyst. We want to get his thoughts as Israel suffers a couple of rockets coming in from the north from Lebanon. And that's, of course, where it had its 34-day battle in 2006 with the terrorist group Hezbollah. This, of course, comes as Israel nears a two-week-long conflict with the group Hamas, which is in control of Gaza. And we want to get the captain's thoughts now on the possibility of a second front. Is that what we saw the start of today? And also what Israel is accomplishing thus far in Gaza. And, Captain, thanks so much for your time.
Greg, nice to be back with you.
How should we read what we're seeing on the northern border? We know, obviously, that Hezbollah has a strong presence in Lebanon. There's also a Hamas faction in Lebanon. Syria still, of course, has forces and influence there. How should we interpret what we saw today with the rockets coming in from the north?
Well, I think the most telling thing on that was not the rockets themselves, but the fact that everybody that you mentioned is trying to distance themselves from having done it. The Lebanese government is, of course, immediately denying any connection to this at all. Hezbollah is not anxious to claim it. And the reason is because right now is not a good time to be messing around with the Israelis. They just have zero sense of humor at this point. So if they were to try to open a second front, this is not something that the Israeli military planners forgot to take into consideration when they launched into Gaza. I've spoken with the folks who have done quite a bit of work in planning Gaza operations, and they do not view that as operating in a vacuum. They always see it as part of a general threat picture, and I am sure that they allocated forces and planning to make sure that where they're to be a second front, it would be dealt with decisively.
Do you get the sense there's a completely different mindset with the Israeli military and the leadership of that government than they had about 2.5 years ago in the conflict with Hezbollah?
Absolutely. Well, you've got a new chief of staff of the army. You've got all the government officials have changed over. And the fact of the matter is that if you take a look at the population support, And to politicians, that's the mother's milk of political decisions, is what do the people think about it? And right now, the polls are overwhelmingly in support of the Gaza operations.
In terms of this international effort now to put together a ceasefire, the U.S. is even behind the ceasefire proposal being put forward by Egypt and France. Israel says some of the terms look pretty good to them, but they seem to be of the mind that they're not about to sign anything until they accomplish what they've set out to accomplish here in Gaza.
Yeah, they have to attrite down the weapons caches that Hamas has. They also have to decimate the Hamas leadership and really weaken that organization. They're not going to eradicate it. That's impossible. But they have to pound them down into the dirt. And the other thing is they have to make sure that what happened after Lebanon does not happen after Gaza. Specifically, they had assurances, the Israeli government had assurances, that if they were to withdraw from Lebanon, that the West, predominantly the French, would come in, put a peacekeeping force in there, and make sure that things didn't get out of hand. Well, as soon as the Israelis pulled out, the French came in, nobody did anything, and the Iranians, through Syria, completely resupplied Hezbollah. So what the Israelis want out of this ceasefire is, a verifiable ceasefire with third and fourth parties, meaning international supervision, and a total ceasefire of any rockets coming out of Gaza into Israeli territory. And if they don't get those two things, they're not going to stop.
We're talking with a retired Navy Captain Chuck Nash, who's also a Fox News military analyst. And, Captain, what are you hearing from your sources, if anything, about the tactical accomplishments of the Israeli forces inside Gaza? Actual details seem to be a little bit hard to come by right now.
Yeah, my sense of it is that what they did was they had, and having spent a little bit of time looking at some of the Gaza intelligence on a trip over to Israel, they had a very good knowledge of how these tunnels are built. They knew where a lot of the weapons caches were. They knew where a lot of the leadership targets were. And their difficulty is taking out those key targets and logistics points without causing inordinate collateral damage. Because what Hamas does, Hamas is very much like the leadership of their sponsor, which is the regime in Tehran. And that is, that regime in Tehran is using the Iranian country of Iran, if you will, as the host, and the regime is the parasites. It's the same thing with Hamas. Hamas really doesn't care about the people of Gaza. They're just using them, in this case, as human shields, and a reason to bring in all this foreign aid, which they're then taking and selling to their own people. These guys are gangsters, and they're terrorists, and they just happen to have control of Gaza, and it's Gaza is just one big feral plot of land.
How then should we react to the images that obviously Hamas is putting out of Gaza, the international community reacting a lot to the civilian casualties? We hear all sorts of reports about the civilian population being used as human shields there. So what's the proper reaction to that?
Well, there's the human part of it, and then there's the international law part of it. I'm not a lawyer, but I know enough about international law and the rules of warfare that there's a thing called perfidy. And that is, if you store weapons in a mosque, if you fire out of a mosque, if you do any of those things, that mosque loses its protection under international law. And Hamas is so unscrupulous that they have literally gone to these UN sanctuary places, the UN schools and offices, where the population have fled their homes and gone there because the UN has told the Israelis, hey, these are our facilities, don't strike them. And then the Hamas folks come riding up with some rocket launchers or a mortar tube right in the middle of these schoolyards, right in the middle of these facilities, and start launching against the Israelis. And when the Israelis counter-strike, innocent people get hurt. So, you know, on the one hand, there's the legal part of it. On the other hand, is the carnage that is showing up on the TV, and that is the clock and the pressure that's really ticking against the Israelis, which is, can you get done what you need to get done before the weight of human suffering gets to the point where you are forced to stop? They're even calling places and telling people on the phone, get out of your building because we're going to strike, because they know there's a tunnel entrance on the bottom of the building, or they know that there are Hamas leadership sites there. But the Hamas folks are holding these people in these places at gunpoint to use them as human shields. They're a bunch of terrorists. They're just a bunch of terrorists. We just got to call it what it is.
Captain, fair or unfair to point out that the people of Gaza elected Hamas just a couple years ago?
They did, and you know, if you talk to or listen to Mahmoud Abbas and what he says the election was stolen, and then the Fatah people were run out of Gaza at gunpoint. So you know, what kind of a fair election was that? I don't know. But, yeah, you get the government that you elect. How about that?
A couple minutes left here with Captain Chuck Nash. And in terms of finishing here where we started up along the northern border, what will you be looking for to see if that was perhaps an isolated incident or the beginning of a significant escalation?
I would be looking for more points before I start plotting a curve. We have 1 point. It could have been a random event. If this is something that Hezbollah does not want to happen, or their Iranian masters do not want to happen, then we won't see any sustained activity. If it starts to pick up, more rockets start to fly, then the deniability goes out the window.
What's your assessment in our last 90 seconds here, Captain, of the U.S. role in all of this? We mentioned a moment ago that Condoleezza Rice is behind the Egyptian-French ceasefire plan. For the most part, President Bush has had very little to say, perhaps a tacit acknowledgement that he is willing to let Israel do what it feels it needs to do. What do you believe the proper posture is, and what do you make of what we've done so far?
Well, I think we're maintaining the right posture, which is we're trying to keep the rest of the world from condemning Israel for merely defending itself. You know, there have been, over the last 3 years since Hamas took over in Gaza, there have been 6,000 mortars or rockets shot into Israeli territory. That's 2,000 a year. People are getting killed. Things are getting blown up. And the United States, at some point, has to respect a nation's right. Every nation has to respect a nation's right to self-defense. That's what they're exercising. You know, at this point, maybe the rest of the world should have done more when they could have to prevent this, and they didn't. And now the Israelis are going to have to defend themselves.
Well, Captain, it's certainly a crisis that bears a very close watching, and we'll continue to do that. Thanks very much, as always, for your time.
Greg, it's always a pleasure.
Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired, Fox News military analyst. This is Dateline Washington.